Open public input. This is where we look to citizens to provide us with their wisdom, and we do appreciate that. You've come out. Wow. Big list. So I always review the commission rules for public presentation because of the limits of our agenda and the number of items we have to take up. We offer citizens 3 minutes to testify. We'd like you to come up to the front table, speak a few inches, 5 inches from the mic. And when you hear the beeping noise, that means your time is up and we'd like you to conclude your remarks. If you don't, then I'll just have to politely interrupt you. And if you didn't still have issues, you know, we can always call enforcement. Okay, let's start off. We've got some handouts, too, and I want to assure you all that the commission will receive all the handouts that you've provided. Okay. Let's see. The first two people, yeah, let's hand these out. I think we'll need some more over here. I'll call you up two at a time to make it more efficient. Scott Lundy and Bob Lake, would you come forward? Okay, Mr. Lundy.
Good morning.
Welcome.
I distinctly recall first hearing about the mythical giant Pacific octopus years ago from a seasoned veteran diver. He told me tales of a particular 200-pound GPO that befriended him and followed him around during his dive. I dismissed this story with a laugh and thought it was typical diver hyperbole, but over the years I've learned that GPAs do indeed grow to immense sizes, exhibit personality, and can distinguish one person from the next. I'm a local dive and underwater photo instructor, and in my experience, seeing one of these majestic animals underwater is the highlight of almost any dive. You can imagine my dismay when last year I witnessed a young diver harvesting one of these animals from one of our state's most popular dive sites, Alcright Seacrest Park. As a result of this, I helped form the GPO Protection Initiative in hopes of changing current regulations surrounding the harvest of this animal. And over the last year, I've talked to countless people about this issue, some supportive and some not, and I've yet to meet anyone who regularly harvests a species for consumption. Most of the opposition, then, is based not on the issue itself, but rather on the principle alone. This is seen as a harbinger of future restrictions on rights. To summarize, the most common response I've heard regarding this is that GPO harvesting is a non-issue. I disagree. I think it's a very important issue. I think the people that signed our petition 1 year ago, 6,000 of them, agree that it's an important issue. I think the hundreds of people that wrote letters and provided comments to the commission believe it's an important issue. I think it's an important issue for the dive community worldwide who travel to the Northwest to see this particular animal and vastly enjoy seeing them when able. Finally, I think it's an important issue for the countless future generations of divers who can enjoy this species non-consumptively. I do see this as an issue, and it's more than just a conservation issue. This is an opportunity to help foster a growing ecotourism and dive industry in the Pacific Northwest, and to send a message that we value that ecosystem. Seattle has an opportunity to become the premier cold water diving destination in the United States, and the GPO can be the crown jewel of these efforts. It is an iconic Northwest species, and for these reasons, I believe it deserves our protection. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Jack Hollingsworth, would you come forward, please? Mr. Lake.
Good morning, Commissioner Lecker and fellow commissioners and Director Phil Anderson. My name is Bob Lake. I'm also a commercial advisor on the Grays Harbor and Willapa advisory boards. About a year and a half ago, Commissioner Lecker approached me about safe areas. And back earlier this spring, I come back and I recommended both Grays Harbor and Willapa for safe areas for the commercial fishermen of this state. And I'm commenting on Grays Harbor especially today, because Grays Harbor, if there is no fishery, recreational, commercial on the Chehalis system, they will only get to half of their escapement goals for Chinook in the Chehalis system, period. Well, The directed recreational Chinook fishery that was proposed for 10 days in September will harvest by the department numbers is 985. But if you recall, the older members should recall, on the April 2nd letter that was signed by all of the recreational advisors for Grays Harbor, and they say that they catch 350% more than what is predicted. They're that efficient. And if you figure that out, that 985 fish goes to 3,447 and a half fish. And also on that same note, if you use their numbers for 2006, they caught fivefold of what was predicted, which was 4,925 fish this year. And not meeting escapement goals, I do not understand how you could have a directed Chinook fishery in that circumstance. It does not make sense for the whole stock of Chinook on the Chehalis side. And also, I sent you guys a copy of the RCW, and it states, and this is after the first buyback, which will affect a reduction in the amount of commercial fishing gear in use in the state so as to ensure increased economic opportunity for those persons in the industry and to ensure that sound scientific conservation and harvesting programs can be carried out. What I'm asking you people to do is to abide by the law and also the logic. If we don't get those Chinook back, we're going to have the feds hollering for an ESA listing. That does not make sense for a resource. I'm getting to the end of my life in this whole area, but I mean, think about what's coming down the road. Any directed Chinook fishery is not doable. And I think also on the 29th of April, we left this room, or 29th of March, we left this room right here with an impression we had a doable fishery for the commercial side in both the Chehalis side and the Hump Tulip side, and for some reason, it has totally come off the board. And I would appreciate, and I would like to know why.
Okay, thank you. I guess we're not going to be able to answer that question right now. So, thanks. Martha Jordan, please come forward. Okay, Mr. Hollingsworth.
Good morning. My name is Jack Hollingsworth. I'm a member of the Grays Harbor Salmon Advisory Board, and we spent many nights trying to hammer out a season for Grays Harbor sport and commercial. We did that. We brought it to this room, like Bob said. We had a season that neither side actually were happy with, but that's what we decided. It was taken to the director. He okayed it. And something happened between March 29th and a few days ago when the CR 102 was filed. We're down to 7 days of tangle net fishery. And for the commercials, sport got their season. That's a specialty net. It's not in stock. If you don't have one, you can't get one. So there's going to be many of the fishermen that's going to be won't be able to fish that season. And I'm like Bob, I'd like to know what happened to our season from March 29th. The department okayed the season. It was, science was used to determine the season. My feeling is if we don't get our season that was agreed upon, then both us and the sport should not be able to fish. I agree with Bob, there's not enough Chinook to have a sport retention season for 10 days, and then there's a big run of coho predicted. The sports are going to stay on the water. They're going to catch kings, throw them back. They're going to be dead, a certain percentage of them, and the commercial people feel that there's not enough of the run, won't be enough of the run left to, for future generations. That's all that. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Andy Mitby? Ms. Jordan?
I'm Martha Jordan, and I want to welcome the new commissioners. Many of you already know how active I am with the agency. I sit on the Enforcement Advisory Committee, a really fine, incredible group of people. and I appreciate that appointment for 3 years. I'm also very active in the Citizens Advisory Group for the Snoqualmie Wildlife Areas and Skagit, and I just got accepted to be going to the training on August 21st to the wildlife area training so I can improve my stewardship abilities for these wildlife areas. But what I want to really say is thank you to the Enforcement Division for their continued support of the deleterious species related to mute swans. And you seem to have a plethora of them in the Olympia-Lacey area the last few years. We have done 2 actions with them. I am on the mute swan buster team. And we've done 2 actions this last month in the Lacey-Olympia area. And I just want to say thank you to Sergeant Carl Klein. He has been remarkable, and to Dan Brinson, Captain Dan Brinson, and to Deputy Chief Sensei for really supporting and keeping with this deleterious species and having the backbone. Arkansas has had a huge problem with interbreeding of mute and trumpeter swans this year, and they found us, and we were able to help guide that state program so that even the governor got on board with mute swan control in Arkansas. So we're having a difference nationwide because of what has happened here with the Department of Fish and Wildlife and the mute swan problem. So I really want to say thank you. And we've got 5 great volunteers that I work with. What I would like to say is, could we please have a little funding for mileage? It's getting kind of expensive. And we'd love to have a Scotty brand salmon dip net in Olympia to help with our efforts. We still have 1 or 2 more to go. I also want to say thank you to the private partners in the Skagit who have helped make that barge happen. I know how important it is because I'm very much into the hunt and hunting community with waterfowl and out there with my water spaniel doing all kinds of really crazy things. And I want to also say thank you to the PHS program and Terry Johnson for all of their support in our citizen science project that was funded by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service related to lead poisoning in swans in the Squim and Jefferson County area that we've now completed 2 years of the program. And we have added over about 90% new swan use areas, habitat oriented. It's now in the program. The data is great. It's available for not only the wildlife managers who have been really surprised at how much swan use is happening, but also for the other people who can work. So thank you very much.
Thank you. David Hollingsworth, would you come forward, please? Okay, Mr. Mitby.
Good morning, fellow commissioners. My name is Andy Mitby, and I sit on the Grays Harbor Advisory Commission. I am a commercial fisherman. I'm here to reiterate what Jack and Bob have brought to your attention. Our season that was agreed upon on, I do believe it was March 29th at PFMC, has been drastically changed, to my knowledge, and I have not received any answers why. We worked very hard on this, and in the Grays Harbor system, we have what we call a tier system, and we've worked on this for the past few years. To my knowledge, the season that may be coming out, I do not know. Nothing has been put in print, which is odd because usually our season is in print by first week of June, and we have seen nothing. I have seen nothing on the internet, to my knowledge. None of the guidelines, even with what was set on March 29th, were met on the commercial side. Do I agree with the tier system? Not all of it. Do the recreationals agree with the whole tier system? Not all of it. But it is a set of guidelines. Have these guidelines been met? No. Okay. If there was to be a change after March 29th, we as advisors were to receive a phone call. Did we receive a phone call? Nope. Nothing. Nothing. We were told after that day, this is our, and it, in past years, that's been our season. There's been very few changes in the past years after March 29th. Did they consult us? And I think that's the real reason, probably why I'm jaded the most. Was anybody consulted? No. Okay. That's all I got. Thank you very much.
Thank you. David Jennings? And Mr. Hollingsworth?
My question is, I want to know what happened to our season that we agreed to in this room. They went upstairs, talked to Phil, said everything was okay. Come downstairs, and we have not seen none of it since. Nobody knows where that season went. Ours got thrown out the door or the window. I'm not sure where it went. And here we sit to this day. No season. I don't even know what kind of net I got to get ready. And so I would like to know the answer to the question, what happened to our season? That's all I have.
Okay.
So I don't know if you can answer me today or not. I don't know.
Most often we do not try to respond immediately unless staff is prepared to, but I know that there's another person about to testify to the same issue. It's certainly on our radar screen. We have been getting lots and lots of emails about Grays Harbor, about the Chehalis fishery. So you've raised some new issues, and it goes to the responsiveness of staff to your questions and the courtesy you're shown in explaining the decision-making process. Those are the issues that you've raised, so I'm not sure we'll be able to answer them today.
I'm also on this advisory board. I was appointed as I'm appalled to be a part of it, actually. I mean, why did I spend, I don't know how many nights till 11 o'clock at night, extra meetings to be thrown under the bus? No answers from nobody? Magically, everybody's on vacation? I don't understand that.
Okay.
Not one response to an email? On and on it went. I mean, for months. This is the first time ever in my life that I didn't know what my season was on August 2nd now.
Okay.
Supposedly, I'm supposed to fish on the 12th, but I don't even know that. So how do I get my gear, my stuff, to get ready to go when I don't even know what I'm going to do? I mean, so, thank you.
Okay, we hear you. And Director Anderson, do you want to respond?
As part of my director's report, I'll be reporting on the status of Grays Harbor and Willapaw sport and commercial fisheries in the rulemaking process.
Okay. Okay, James Skitchell, would you come forward? Mr. Jennings, nice to see you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Commissioners. Director Anderson, Deputy Director Store. I respectfully urge you to choose option D, closing Puget Sound to the recreational harvest of the giant Pacific octopus. Washington's marine waters are one of the global epicenters of ocean acidification. Ocean acidification will trend with increased global warming. It's going to be getting worse. The forecast for marine ecosystems locally is poor at best, looking in the next few decades. We have no idea how the change in ocean pH in our waters will affect GPO, giant Pacific octopus, breeding success, growth rates, or availability of food sources at all age classes. And I did provide a copy of my comments to you guys. You should have them. Mm-hmm. One of the lessons of fisheries management is that the time to close a fishery is before there is a consumptive constituency. Once one is established, it becomes much more difficult to manage. And I would just reflect back on learning that there was a sturgeon fishery in Puget Sound a couple of years ago and recognizing that that hadn't been incorporated into season settings and take levels, and Fraser River's sturgeon, and now trying to deal with it is more challenging than if we had known about it previously. We know that taking a precautionary approach is prudent. In the case of the giant Pacific octopus, being prudent pays immediate benefits from the free international positive attention this will garner. This is more a marketing opportunity for watchful wildlife ecotourism than an immediate conservation issue. The giant Pacific octopus is an icon of Puget Sound in the Pacific Northwest. It is a great example of a Washington State Marine glamorous megafauna. It's also one of the most intelligent species we know. You've heard from people around the country, Puget Sound is a national treasure, not just a local resource. Millions of federal dollars are being spent to protect and restore it. Restore Puget Sound and make it a quality habitat for giant Pacific octopus and other species. Giant Pacific octopus are worth, in real dollars through ecotourism, much more than we gain from keeping the season as it currently is, which allows harvest year-round in all areas except Area 12, no minimum size, daily limit of one, no chemicals or irritants allowed. Please recognize option D is in the best interest of Washington's economy.
please adopt option D, Puget Sound closure to recreational harvest of giant Pacific octopuses. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. Danny Reeves, would you please come forward? Okay, Mr. Gitchell.
My name is Gabe Gitchell. I've been fishing commercially for the last 50 years or close, a couple more years. I don't like this Graves Harbor thing. I
have. Could you move a little closer to them or bring the mic a little closer to you? Okay.
I haven't taken a king salmon home on the Chehalis system for 15 years, and I don't believe the sport should be catching them if they're low on quality, or low on the amount that's going up the rivers. I was here when the commercial fleet was huge and these big, nice buildings were built. Now we have the days of this foregone opportunity, and you can't pay the light bills or feed the fingerlings. Something needs to be changed in the system. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Bruce Barnes, would you come forward? Okay, Mr. Reeves.
Yes, I'm Danny Reeves, and I'm a commercial fisherman for 45 years. And I was wondering about this Grays Harbor season, gillnet season, why we haven't, like Jack and Andy and all them, wondering why we're not seeing any paperwork. And I believe that we are entitled to some of them kings in the hump tulips area. And with all the other user groups, we are the only ones that seem to be using the recovery boxes, trying to save fish when the other user groups are going out and hooking and releasing. And it's just, I mean, here it is August 2nd, and we have no season set, nothing in the mail or anything. And with the tangle net, it takes it's not like going down to the store and buying a loaf of bread or something. You know, you got to order these nets. It takes 4 months to get them. And like Jack said, that they're not on the shelf. So there's going to be guys that are not going to be able to fish, and that's their livelihood. And I'd like to see my grandkids be able to fish someday too. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Mr. Barnes.
Good morning, Commission. Thanks for the opportunity to speak. In front of you is a document here. I don't know if... Can I get a raise of hands of who has seen this document before? Anybody seen this before? This was presented at the Western Deer and Elk Conference in Missoula, Montana, by your Fish and Wildlife Department. And I'd like to know why this isn't on your website, number one. Number two, if we've got a mortality, like on page two here, with the third biggest mortality in our state's history, why is our increase in tags to 1,710 cow tags in the affected area of all this hoof rot going on? And if you look at the last page here, it kind of tells the story of the hoof rot, where it started and where it is now. And I'm here to tell you that the hoof rot is spreading because the elk are swimming the Columbia River over to Deer Island in Oregon. And I've contacted the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife and talked to their biologist and their veterinarian about this. And we still have a major problem. We still don't have a hoof rot committee. I'm glad to see there's a couple of new commissioners here, and maybe they can be a little more proactive about this. And, you know, we got a major disaster going here. We're 60 days away from a hunting season, and we still don't know what we're doing here. We're sending hunters out to hunt these sick elk, and we still don't even know if they're okay to eat. And furthermore, the timber owners now are talking about, you know, Weyerhaeuser Timber Corporation is talking about in the Mount St. Helens area charging $250 to hunt on their property. Now, in any other state, that's called, you know, being a outfitter. And if they're going to do that, why do we even have regulations for their property, like the Tootle Unit and the Margaret and all the rest of them? Why don't we just open it up to general season? If you want to eliminate the elk, open it up to a general season. There's no reason to charge the hunter extra money to apply for a tag if there's nothing left to hunt and there's nowhere left to hunt. So that's all I've got to say. I mean, let's be a little proactive here. I mean, I said at the first one of these meetings, we can do things better. Science is based on facts and data. You have a whole bunch of science and facts and data that the public hasn't even seen. I mean, your commission hasn't even seen this paperwork. So, again... we can do things better here at our Fish and Wildlife. I mean, I'm listening to the fishery guys here. It's just not on the hunting side. People are aggravated. You know what I mean? We can do better in this state. You know, we want to preserve. We want to conserve. We want to be able to have an opportunity to use the forest, you know, harvest the animals, harvest the fish. But if there's no management, there's going to be nothing left. So that's all I've got to say today. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.